the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here back live tonight and every night. When we're not working on a TV show, I'm not trying to go Hollywood on you, which is what I was accused of by somebody on Twitter. What are you going Hollywood? I said, no, I just like to eat. That's all. I enjoy a salary. You know, I don't mean celery, bud. I mean salary. I like getting paid. So, you know, I take these side jobs. In any event, we're back here live, and our number is 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. That is the strong right arm, the online presence, the World Wide Web, the worldwide headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And with a backstage pass, you can be watching our live-streaming video in HD in full, beautiful color. And behind me is the rolling surf of the Pacific Ocean as we broadcast from the El Pacifico each and every night. You can also check out our souvenir shop. If you don't want to get a BSP, at least get yourself a hat or a mug so you don't look completely naked out there. Tonight we have possibly Doug Danger joining us to talk about the evolution of St. Patrick's Day away from being a religious ceremony or a religious holiday and now is getting more and more secular. We're going to start things off here this evening with Pastor William Renick, a very good friend of our show, and the pastor is the spiritual shepherd there of Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. There's other really fascinating news in our News and Information Hour. One of the items, Jason Russell, the young man who made the Coney video, a beautifully done piece, albeit quite. Some people are now saying a bit on the propagandistic side because much of what he talks about in that film is outdated and it seems a bit emotionally manipulative. Or maybe they're just saying that since he got arrested today. That's right. Jason Russell, the author of that beautiful piece on the poor children of Uganda and their kidnapping by this man, Coney. Mr. Russell was arrested in San Diego today by San Diego police in the Pacific Beach District of San Diego. His clothes were off. He apparently had been performing some kind of a sex act. And I'm not kidding. And all in all, pretty bizarre. And we'll talk about that. Pastor William Renick on the line with us. And Pastor Renick, you got some news sometime this week, I guess, that it's possible you're going to see the Kardashian family there at Joyful Union?
That is correct. As far as I know, Phil, I can't speak right now, but I'm excited to be able to tell you and tell your listeners that we might have the Kardashian family here and the Jenner family, Chris and Bruce Jenner, at Joyful Union. One of the reasons why this may happen is because I've been a very good friend with individuals who are intimate with that family, and I think it is a great testament, the Kardashian family, a great testament to faith. This is a family that, as you know, they lost their father, Robert Kardashian.
Right. He was the first attorney that O.J. called.
That is correct, yes. He was a criminal defense attorney. He was a man that put together the dream team. They lost their father. But since that time, the family has pulled together, and they are a family of faith. And I'm hoping to see them. But even if I don't, I think it's a wonderful time for me to speak in a homily or speak to you tonight and to others about the power of faith in your life. And if you embrace God, you know, God can do anything.
Yeah.
He can do anything. And look at the Kardashian family. God is so great. Look at how, if you look at that family, how wealthy they have become. Kim Kardashian has more money than quite possibly her father was able to earn in his lifetime. And her father was a very successful man, you know.
She's got a lot of businesses. Yeah.
Well, she's got a number of businesses. She has, as you know, she's got fashion. She has perfume and jewelry and so on. She also has her television show. She produces, I think, two television shows. This is what God can do. And when I read Kim Kardashian, Khloe, and Chris, the family, when I look at their on the Twitter, you know, sometimes I go to the Twitter, you will see them talk about, isn't God great? Isn't God powerful? When you look at the money that they've got and the things that they're able to do. You know?
Well, when we talk about, you know, it's very interesting you're talking about this, Pastor Renick, because I've been talking on my show of late about the differences between the earning of money and the pride in what it is you're earning that money for. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So money in and of itself has kind of become the goal.
That is totally, totally correct, Phil. And that's why I am very proud to say that when I look at the Kardashian family, that's a family that has their substance to their faith. So, in other words, they're not just saying, I want to be rich, you know, I'm going to make money, going to make money, going to make money. But they say, I want to be rich, and I want to make money. But look at, I go to church, and you know, God, praise God. So they give God acknowledgement. And I've often said to the people in our church, or whoever, you have to stop at least once a day and say, see all this that I've got, I thank God for it. And then you can move on. It doesn't have to be something that's a big display. Just at least once a day, especially when there's people talking to you, especially when you see people following you on Twitter, if you want to call, you know, you talk about Twitter, or if you're just there in the world, you know, just at least once a day when someone says, you have a lot of money, you're very wealthy, remember to say, oh, I praise God for this.
And well, that sounds a little fake.
What do you mean?
Well, yeah, that's right. I got to remember to praise God for this.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean, if it is something that you just thought of, if it is, even if it's something that you don't really want to say at that time, say it anyway. Even if it's something that, for whatever reason, you might be having a bad day. You might be having a very difficult day. And someone says, you have an enormous amount of wealth. And it would make you sick at that moment to say, oh, yeah, God help me. Say it anyway. Say it anyway.
And why would it make somebody sick to acknowledge God's?
Well, no, I'm saying it would. I don't think it should. But if you're having a bad day, let's face it, Phil, you're having a bad day. Sometimes it's difficult to say anything or do anything. But you've got to say, God help me get this. Otherwise, people are going to think that you're all about just money, 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 money. You got to make people believe, and yes, they should believe it, because it should be true, that you got your wealth because of your faith in God, or at least you got your wealth because you got it, and now you're saying, but you know what? Now I know God is going to have a hand in helping me keep it.
And had a hand in helping you get it.
Well, not if you did not pray to God. If you got the wealth yourself, you can't say God helped you get it. You can't, because if God wasn't helping you at the time, you see what I'm saying?
And you mean if I'm out there and I'm a non-believer and I make a lot of money, and then I become a believer when I have all of this money, I can't say God helped me get it?
No, you can't say that because you did not pray to God for it. But what you can say, God's going to help me keep it. But no, you got that money on your own. God didn't help you. You did not pray to God for it.
That's interesting. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Pastor William Renick on the line here as we talk about, you know, being wealthy like the Kardashians. He's got the Kardashians maybe coming to his church this Sunday. They're very wealthy, but they always mention God at some point in their description of their day or their life. 877-876-7445 is the number, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch our live-streaming video of the show. We have Pastor William Renick with us, and we're talking about money and faith, and the Kardashians in particular, who may be paying a visit to your church this weekend. Very wealthy family, a family that acknowledges God in their lives.
Well, and that's almost to every person, too, Phil. You talk about Chris Jenner, Bruce Jenner. Robert Kardashian, Khloe and Courtney and Kim, all of them talk about God. And that's so, when they talk about their wealth, and I don't know if you know just how wealthy, they are very, very wealthy people. They're very, and the other young lady I think is even a better example is Snooki from that Jersey Shore. Now, regardless of what you think of Jersey Shore, this young lady, Snooki, her real name is Nicole, is very wealthy. She has more money, if you can imagine this, the young woman who's barely out of her 20s, if she is out of her 20s, I don't know. And she got more money than most adult men listening to this program tonight will ever have, not only in their life, but if they live two lifetimes, you know. So why is that? That's what I ask myself. Why is that? How is it that Snooki had more money than most adult men who work very hard? Well, it's because she thanks God for her good fortune today, even though she did not really believe in God when she was getting, you know.
And so when Snooki, we're talking about Snooki of Jersey Shore, who's got all kinds of things going for her, promotional things and so on and so forth. You say she didn't believe in God when she was getting it.
No, she didn't really acknowledge God in that time when she was on Jersey Shore and she was getting all that money. So God didn't really help her with it then. God helped her keep it, though. And it's the same thing with the Kardashians. They didn't really believe in God, and they weren't very all that religious, you know, when they were making the money. But now that they've got it, now they understand that God helps them keep it. And to acknowledge God is also very important, because people can't say to you, well, look at you, you're all about money. Because you can say, no, I'm not all about money. I thank God. God is great. And I'm rich. And look at how rich I am.
And well, there's something about all of this that seems a little dishonest.
Why's that?
Well, if you're telling me that they're acknowledging God so people will see that they believe in God, do they really believe in God?
Who are you speaking of now? You're talking about the Kardashians?
Like the Kardashians.
Phil, this is the point that I try to make on Sundays when I'm talking to people. If you are a very wealthy person, if you've got a lot of disposable income, and you are particularly young, so that means that a man or a woman twice your age, you could basically buy or sell them if you wanted to. You could buy them and sell them. Now, that's a lot of power. So you need to acknowledge God.
But do they have to believe in God?
I think when you acknowledge God, you will come to a belief in God.
So what you're saying is, if a young person like a Snooki or one of the Kardashians has a lot of money, then they should acknowledge a belief in God so as what? Not to anger?
Yeah, because there are a lot of people that are going to be offended and hurt by the fact that a Snooki or Kim Kardashian or Ryan Seacrest or P. Diddy or one of these people has so much money. That they could get a grown man twice their age to do anything they wanted him to do. They could pay him enough. Now, that's having a lot of power over somebody. And you don't want people to react negatively to that. So you need to acknowledge your belief in God. And that's why I say...
What I'm saying is, okay, acknowledge your belief in God. You said that you don't have to believe.
Well, I'm saying you have to publicly state your belief in God.
Yeah, but do you believe in God?
You ask them if I believe in God.
No, not you. But I mean, if a person says, I'm very, very wealthy and I acknowledge my belief in God, they don't necessarily have to believe that.
Well, look, the reason why you're saying it is so that people will not be hurt by the fact that you're 25 years old and you can buy and sell them as if you own them, as if they were a slave. People take that very hard. You know, people who don't have money take that very hard. So you can soften the blow by saying you thank God for all your wealth. Now, you may not believe in God, but by beginning to acknowledge God, you get people off your back a little bit. I shouldn't say off your back. But
See, that's what I mean. It sounds fake.
No, it's not fake.
When you say getting people off your back.
Well, I didn't mean to say. What I'm saying is, if you acknowledge your belief, and if you say, tell people I believe in God, and God help me get this money. Yes, you are going to get them off your back so they're not saying, look at you, you got all this money and you're godless. They can't call you godless because you just said you believe in God.
But you don't believe in God.
But you can begin the process of believing in God by just saying it over and over again. The worst case scenario is that people are going to get off your back and quit bothering you about not believing in God and all the money. You see, I've got money. And the same thing with no matter who it is.
Well, I'm not a religious man.
Well, Philip, and that's something that I appreciate you acknowledging, because you're not a religious man. You can't judge what I'm saying.
Right.
You can't judge what I'm saying. If you went to church, if you were religious, if you had a belief in God, God Almighty.
Yeah,
I'm talking about God Almighty. You know what that means, don't you? Bill, you know what that means?
Yes, sir. Yes, Pastor, I know what it means. The creator of heaven and earth.
You better believe the creator of heaven. A whole lot more than that. Now, you may not believe in him. And if you are rich and you have enough money to buy a man and his wife and his children and make slaves out of them, you better acknowledge God's place in your life sooner or later, because people are going to start to get very resentful of the fact that you got enough money to make them do what you want them to do. And some of the things that you can make people do when you got money, you know as well as I do, are embarrassing, they're disgusting, they would sacrifice a man's self-esteem. And yet people will do it for the right kind of money. You could have them do that. So I say acknowledge God, and people won't fear that you're going to give them enough money to make them do something that is depraved, that is as depraved and despicable as anything the devil would make you do.
I don't see how that is even germane to what we're talking about. Well, I mean, I've got so much money, I'm going to pay somebody to do something depraved.
But people fear that from the wealthy. We fear that from people who've got money. I will tell you this, and I'm a preacher, and I believe in God Almighty, and I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. And yet, I can tell you this one. Kim Kardashian, it's possible, Phil, she could give Pastor William Renick, me, enough money, because she's a very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She's a very beautiful woman. And I fear that Kim Kardashian would pay me enough money where I would willingly engage in the most debauched, despicable, and vile acts with that woman in a sexual, you know, on sex. See what I'm saying?
You mean you have no faith at all in God?
I give my life to God.
Well, then why would you worry that she'd pay you enough money to make you do despicable things?
Because I'm a man. I'm not God. I'm a man. I try my best. But when I think of Kim Kardashian, and I would be able to resist her because of my belief in God, but if she were to pay me money to engage in the kind of activity that you would only see in a filthy, I shouldn't even talk this way, Phil, but you'd only see it in a filth-strewn movie from Europe or something, you know.
Well, why are we talking like this?
Because I want you to know what the temptations are. And I want to tell you how appreciative I am that the Kardashians, Snooki, Ryan Seacrest, these other people, are very wealthy as a result of giving some credit to God, even if they don't really believe God has anything to do with it. Because what they're doing is they're giving God good publicity, you know, and spreading the word about God.
Well, all right, Pastor William Renick with us. I think there's an awful lot that you're saying here, and I'm listening very carefully, that somebody who is interested in becoming more, I guess, spiritual would have a hard time with.
Give me an example.
You know, well, I mean, the example would be like, even if I don't believe in God, I'm going to say I believe in God so that I keep people from fearing that I can buy and sell them because I'm so wealthy. Those are the things I'm talking about. All right, we're going to come back here with Pastor William Renick, and your phone calls at 877-876-7445 as he discusses the Bible, wealth. And if you are wealthy, is it important to really believe in God or to just say you believe in God so that people are impressed by how you gain and keep your wealth? 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me, Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. As we're talking about the Kardashians and people who go to church. Actually, we're not talking about people who go to church. We're talking about wealth.
Well, we are talking about wealth, Phil, because we have, in recent years, we've seen a new kind of entrepreneurial wealth in this country in the entertainment business. And because we are located in Southern California, because my church and many of the people that I know are located in Southern California, we deal with this new kind of entrepreneurial wealth. The Kardashian family is a very wealthy family. When they gain the money that they've got, they were not believers in God. But they now acknowledge that God helps them keep that wealth, you know.
So because they didn't believe in God, then God didn't help them get it.
No, God's not going to help you get. If you don't believe in God and you become rich, you become wealthy. That's because you became rich, you became wealthy. God didn't help you do that. But you can get God to help you hold on to that money by simply telling people that you believe in God. You may not believe in God. That's not important to God. God doesn't care whether you believe in him or not. It's how you witness him. Are you witnessing that I tell people I believe in God?
Do you believe in God?
Do you ask if I believe in God?
Yeah.
Well, there are days when I do, there are days when I don't. There are days when I think there's no God at all. But I never, what I say is...
See, I've never heard a preacher talk that way. Are you sure that is scripture?
I'm telling you that's human. But I always tell people I believe in God. There are some Sundays I will stand, Phil, in the pulpit. I'll stand to give a homily, stand to give a sermon, and I'll say to people, I believe in God, I love God. And now, on those days, I may not believe that there has ever been a God, that there's no God in heaven, and that the world is ruled by nothing but darkness.
You're kidding.
No, but the point, that's not the point. You're missing my point. The point is...
Well, you're saying as long as you say there's a God, then it's, you're witnessing God.
Yes. Yes. Doesn't matter if Kim Kardashian believes in God. If she says she believes in God, then that gives God an extra reason to protect the wealth, the enormous wealth and money she's got.
877-876-PHIL, the number here, 877-876-7445. This is Tom. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Pastor, I feel like if I say that I believe in the tooth fairy, suddenly that's going to change me holding on to my wealth. I mean, just because, and again,
I didn't say anything about the tooth fairy. I didn't say nothing about tooth fairy.
You did make a point, though, about that God doesn't help you make your wealth. But suddenly he has an interest.
Not
in
if you don't believe in him. If you don't believe in him.
You didn't say that. You said God does.
Yes, I did.
Help you.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And what you also said after that was that God will help you keep your wealth. So why does God take an interest?
If you believe
in
him,
keeping your wealth. Why does he?
Well, I already explained all of these things, Phil. Do I got to go through it again?
Well, maybe he wasn't listening.
I said, God, if you don't believe in God, then he's not going to help you. But once you gain your wealth, and once you have your wealth, then you should acknowledge God because he will help you keep it. That's I'm using as an example the Kardashian family. Now, hold on. I see you're not listening. You're not listening to me. Hold on.
Okay.
I said that's how the Kardashian family is wealthy, and Snooki, too.
You're saying that Snooki didn't believe in God until she made her money, and now she acknowledges there's a God.
That is correct.
And that helps her hold on to it.
Well, yeah.
you get a circle talk here? It sounds like you don't acknowledge the fact that God really either has no interest or he does. And you're saying he has no interest prior to the person obtaining wealth.
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't know why you're not listening to me. I said if you don't witness God, he's not going to help you. If you do witness God, he'll help you.
What if I do?
But if you don't?
What if
you don't witness God, then he's not going to help you. Now,
so in other words, if you're broke. I was going to say, Tom, if you're broke and you don't say, I believe in God, and then you make money, God didn't help you get that money.
How God can help you get that money when you didn't ask for his help? You don't believe he exists. You don't want him hanging around. You could care less. He didn't help you get that money. You did. Now you're rich. Now, for some whatever reason, maybe you are sick, maybe a child died, I don't know. Suddenly now you want to acknowledge God. He will help you hang on to that wealth.
Even if you don't really believe in him.
That's right. Because, you know, it's difficult to believe in God for some people. It's very difficult. Some people have been through so much that they never believe in God. Like Stookie, like this guy, this kid Ryan Seacrest, has been through hell. Ryan Seacrest says, thank God, I know for a fact he doesn't believe in God.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you witness.
I find this utterly fascinating that God really cares about our checkbooks. I mean, you can't bring your money to heaven, right?
Why wouldn't he? Well, but what you can bring to heaven is a belief in God. And if you're happy, like the Kardashian family is very happy.
Well, you know, okay. Thanks, Tom, for your call. Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Maybe we're being confusing here, you know.
What I'm saying is very simple. I mean, what am I not saying? I'm speaking English.
Well, it confused that gentleman. It's confusing me a little bit. If you're saying that...
What I'm saying, Phil, is so easy that that's why you and that gentleman didn't understand. I'm simply saying that if you say, if you're rich, and you're rich, you got to acknowledge that God helped you get rich, even if he didn't. See? And you don't have to believe in God. That's the number one thing that I think's hanging you up.
What do you mean you don't have to believe in God? That, to me, would seem like the most basic of things.
Look, I told you, I had the hardest time in the world believing in God because I came from a place of deep sin, depravity. And I know I can slip back to that depravity at any minute. When I think about, as I said to you, for instance, if Kim Kardashian come to my house, she knock on my door and she said, I've got some money for you if you want to make a dirty, you know, I'm going to say it to you, Phil, because I know she said, let's make a dirty movie, here's some money. And I said, you make it with you? She said, yeah. I would have to pray and pray and pray. And I wouldn't be praying for God to help me. I'd be praying to, I hope there's a God. Because in some days,
I can't believe that a pastor doesn't believe in God.
I did not say that I don't believe in God, Phil.
Well, you said there's some days that you don't.
Yes.
And if Kim Kardashian offered you enough money to do a film with her, a dirty movie, you'd have to pray to be told there's a God.
What? What did you say?
You know what I'm trying to put it in a way that my audience is going to understand.
I'd have to pray. Yes, I would pray and say, please, do you exist? Please, you know.
Not will you help me with this temptation, but do you exist?
Yes, yes. This is very common. Happens all the time. It's nothing to be afraid of. It is and always has been a part of the human condition.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Okay, here is Denise Grover, Larry's mom. Hey, Denise, how are you?
Hi, Phil. I'm wonderful.
And this is Pastor Rennick.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Pastor. My son is a friend of Mr. Henry's and is on this program.
Yes, ma'am.
I am curious. My husband died 12 years ago, and he died from an embolism. It was a stroke that went very quickly.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Thank you very much. But my question is, he died while he was having relations with another man.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And the other man he was having the relations with was our Presbyterian minister.
Oh, my Lord.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. But I remember his last words. And they were actually a question that he was asking this man, Donald, who was the... He said, can I get into heaven gay? And Donald said, you're asking the wrong guy, because he was caught in this situation.
Did you walk in and find him, ma'am?
I did, yes.
I've never heard this story.
Well, it isn't one Larry's going to tell. But when Larry's father was dying, he said, can I get into heaven gay? And the minister that he'd been having relations with said, you're asking the wrong guy.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I would say yes, he's in heaven, because in his own way, he asked forgiveness for his adultery, which is really what we're talking about.
Oh, you don't think it was a gay?
No, ma'am, I don't think. Oh, you asked? No, I don't think God keeps gay people out of heaven. Not at all. Not at all.
Oh, well, that's not what... All right.
That's not what you've been taught?
No, I've always been taught that gays... no matter how wealthy, are locked out of the gates of heaven. They are kept on the street. The streets of heaven, see?
No, ma'am. Gay people can get to heaven. Rich gay people, in point of fact, will get to heaven faster if they acknowledge and participate.
Don't see, now you're getting into some weird stuff.
No, I'm not, Phil.
Yes, you are. You're getting into this whole idea that if you're rich, you get into heaven faster now.
But he's gay.
If you're gay and you're wealthy, I feel you get to heaven faster, because God got a lot to prove when it comes to gay. And
well, you know, you got an interpretation on God and how God behaves that I just don't know that anybody has. Denise, nice to talk to you.
All right, so it's been good talk.
That's Denise Grover, Larry Grover's mother. We're going to put Pastor Renick on hold. We'll be right back here. 877-876-7445 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Do you have to believe in God for God to work in your life? No. You know, if you're rich, will God help you hold on to your wealth? Yes. If you didn't believe in God when you were working for that wealth, did he help you get it? No. A lot of weird stuff we're talking about here. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Pastor William Renick is on the line with us as we discuss the Kardashian family almost being at your church this weekend, which got you to thinking about this whole idea of wealth, correct?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely correct, Phil, isn't that the Kardashians visiting Joyful Union Congregation, this basically means one thing, that the Kardashians adhere to or subscribe to my belief. That you don't have to believe in God, but you must acknowledge God, and the Kardashian family is so rich, that by acknowledging God, I believe God has helped them expand their wealth into areas that they have yet to even be aware of.
All right, 877-876, Phil, let's go over to Chris. Go ahead, Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. And let's go over to Thomas. Thomas, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just giving regards to you and as far as the pastor. I understand as far as
the
Kardashian comment that you made, but you have to look at it. God is unbecoming of money as far as any type of monetary system at all. You have to understand as far as him.
Well, I don't know what you mean unbecoming of money. What does that mean? What does that mean unbecoming of money? See, all I'm saying is this, that when you rich, now you got to listen to me, you got to listen to me. When you rich and you say all praise to God, then you really rich, you know, then you bona fide rich.
But you're looking at money, sir, as if that's something that God made or something that God honors. The thing
that God
blesses you with is something far greater than money.
Why wouldn't God honor money if he said render to Caesar, render to Caesar the thing what is Caesar, and the thing.
You know, one of the things I notice about you Christians, you never shut up. You talk over top of each other.
Wait, hold on, Phil.
No, you hold on. Every time I hear two Christians arguing about something, they always babble over each other. That's what you guys are doing right now. Both of you guys are trying to prove you're the holier man.
Now, that's insulting for me. That's insulting for this man.
I don't care if it's insulting. Every time it happens, when I get two people that think they know the Bible, they never have any respect for each other. They talk over top of each other. They're rude. They both are trying to impress the listener with how holy they are. I've noticed it with the caller, the same thing with you, Pastor. So what's the point of me listening to you guys? You're confusing me. I don't know what either one of you is saying. Neither one of you makes any sense.
I've been telling you that Jesus...
Yeah, I know. You've been telling me, and this guy's saying something else. What are you saying, sir?
All right. Sir, you are absolutely correct. If we are...
What are you saying? All I'm trying to do is to... I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to tell me, what are you trying to say?
I mean, what I'm trying to say is... I mean, Jesus or God doesn't care about...
You don't need to listen to him. You need to listen to me.
Will you... let? Yeah.
I understand what the pastor is saying as far as the Kardashians when they gain the money and then they have to honor God. But God has already blessed them with that blessing of the money. See,
Understand
that money is not even his issue. He doesn't care about the money.
But he blessed them with the money. He blessed them with the money, see?
The initial thing for God to see is that you prosper as a person. He built you into a whole different type of individual, different from anyone walking the earth. So you're...
And what I'm trying to say is this. What I'm trying to say is this. See, you got to let me talk, Phil, because I'm the preacher.
Yeah, I know. You're the preacher, so you think you've got the last word on all of this.
That's right. You didn't hear what I said when I said that if Kim Kardashian offered me enough money to have a dirty movie with her, I'd have to pray to God to save me from that. Now, are you honest enough to admit to that yourself, sir?
But, sir, your walk with God should have already been strong enough not to even place yourself in that type of environment. If you
I wouldn't place myself.
Then you have to walk
come up,
our whole purpose, sir, as individual.
If she comes up to me and says, let's make a dirty movie.
All right, okay. Thank you very much, Thomas, for your call. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's bad enough listening to you, Pastor Rennick. But it always happens, you know. Every time we talk about religion, here comes all these people with their version of the Bible.
What's wrong with talking about the Bible?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but I don't think, you know, one of the things that I don't think you guys, you Christians, understand is most of the time you turn people off with your boring recitation of what's in the Bible, because generally it's boring. And
you call me boring.
I'm not necessarily calling you boring, but these long, drawn, blah, 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 the Bible, and the this, and the that. And this guy did say one thing that I did hear him say, and I think is right. Your walk with God, right?
My walk with God?
Yeah. In other words, aren't you supposed to be strong enough? What do you mean if Kim Kardashian offered?
I said to that man, and he wasn't honest enough to say to me, if Kim Kardashian offered to make a dirty movie.
If Kim Kardashian offered to make a dirty movie with you?
Yeah. Oh, listen to that. With you? So that's too weird to imagine. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm trying to get the I'm not saying anything about it. I'm trying to get the scenario here. You'd have to pray for strength.
Yes, I'd have to pray for strength. And that's not an unusual admission. And that man tried to make me feel small. He tried to make me feel real small.
Well, look at...
Oh, that man tried to make me feel teeny-weeny. Then I don't have to walk with God. I walk with God. I stroll with God. I trot with God. I jog with God.
Well...
I run with God. I distance race with God, and I cross country with God.
I understand.
I wind sprint with God. And I do that stair thing, but you know how to run up and down. I do that with God. I do it all with God. I do cardiovascular with God because I want to make sure that God's strength is with me. But you can't tell me with a straight face. You can't stand there and look at me without holding your breath, squinching your eyes, spitting your food out, or milk shooting out of your nose that a Kim Kardashian said to you,
Let's make a dirty movie. You got to call God.
All God? What, am I iPhone?
I mean, pray to God. I understand. All of that I understand. But what I don't understand is that you don't have to believe in him in the first place.
You can't. I mean, I'd be lying. And most people are lying when they say all the time, every day I believe in God. And if Kim Kardashian came to my front door on the very day that I didn't believe in God, and she said, how about you and I hooking up? I got $100,000 right now.
That's never going to happen.
Oh, okay. Whatever you say.
How about you and I hooking up? Here's $100,000 to make a dirty movie with me, and it happens to be the day that you don't believe in God.
Yeah, then what do?
I guess you can pray to him and somehow come through it. 877-876-PHIL.
I can?
Just hold on. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on this Friday night, 877-876-PHIL. Our News and Information Hour coming up next hour. Thank you, Pastor William Renick, for just a scintillating hour. Wow. If Kim Kardashian offered me $100,000 and to make a dirty movie with her...
Yeah, what would you do?
I'm not answering that question. 877, and some guy just called up and said, you must have got that preacher from prison, right? No, but maybe. I don't know it, but maybe Pastor Renick has been to prison maybe more often than I thought he was. Anyway, welcome back to the program. We have Doug Danger on the line here to talk about St. Patrick's Day, which is tomorrow. And St. Patrick's Day is going through an interesting period of adjustment and perception, Doug. By the way, welcome to the program.
Great pleasure, Phil.
St. Patrick's Day is being seen in a lot of elementary schools, in public schools, as a religious holiday. They're trying to change that, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of Phil. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've written extensively on religious holidays for the Orange County Courier and for other publications, and. St. Patrick's Day is, Phil, a day that is a religious holiday, but increasingly people want to enjoy it as a secular holiday. It mirrors what's happened at Christmas.
What was this I saw at least a couple of schools want to call it O'Green Day?
Yeah, O'Green Day is, in other words, changing it from the religious observance of the patron saint of Ireland, St. Patrick, who was, in fact, believe it or not, Phil, a Roman who eventually came to Ireland as a slave. He was a Roman slave who came to Ireland with the British troops or some land force from Rome and saw the country and eventually went back after converting to Christianity and Catholicism and converted the island of Ireland into to the Christian faith. Now that is a very compelling story, but it's also a religious story, and there are people who don't want that to impinge or infringe upon the celebration of St. Patrick's Day.
Well, it's kind of funny. There wouldn't be a St. Patrick's Day, I guess, if there wasn't a St. Patrick. And so, so there's the holiday, but they don't want it to be St. Patrick's anymore.
Well, like I said, they want it to be something that is secular. And I have to tell you that there's been a move toward the secular for a long time, and it has to do with the failings of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has failed in so many ways, Phil, that we don't have to recount here. But you know the stories as well as I have of the horrible acts of the Catholic priests. And then there is also, unrelated, the perception that Catholic priests are not even celibate, that they are, in fact, engaged in sexual activity, some of it straight, and some of it gay. And so there's a backlash against Catholicism and the Catholic holidays, and people are trying to
distance themselves from that, and they want to distance St. Patrick's Day from the Catholics and make it more about Ireland.
Talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier here, our number 877-876-7445. Interesting. Distancing St. Patrick's Day from Catholicism is a bit of an oxymoron, huh?
Well, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil. I've been writing for the Orange County Courier as a gay man, and then as a gay journalist and as a total gay, gay American for 15 years. And I have seen... using the perception that I have been given as a gay, I have seen how these hypocrisies mount up and mount up and mount up and mount up until finally it's one big lump of a total hypocritical mountain. And my feeling is this: it could have been dealt with if they had dealt with some of the traditional celebrations. When you talk about every year, you're talking about corned beef and cabbage, corned beef and cabbage. This is only going to repulse a lot of people
corned beef and cabbage.
Right. I mean, there are connections that you draw when mentally, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm looking at this through the eyes of a seasoned reporter as a gay. But the corned beef and cabbage, when you think of that, it has obvious blank 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 connotations.
Are you talking about gay or?
Well, no, but I think there is something when it is a yearly assault, and it's not only an assault on adults, it's an assault on children. That every year, corned beef and this kind of thing is constantly being talked about, and this assault never ends, and it is it's a constant assault. And I'm speaking now, Phil, as a reporter, as a gay reporter, as a gay man, and as a gay journalist. When this assault is never-ending of corned beef and cabbage and corned beef and cabbage and the sexual connotations that may be seen in that, you've got a problem.
Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. When we talk about St. Patrick's Day, because I'm not really quite following you, but you are saying that the traditional Irish fair...
Well, yeah, it's traditional Irish fair, yeah.
All right, the traditional Irish fair... which is corned beef and cabbage, now related to a St. Patrick's Day because of the Irish, Irish storyline. That's where St. Patrick went to convert the natives.
That's correct.
This is a sexual thing.
I think it becomes that way because of all the problems the Catholic Church has had. The priests are not celibate. There have been some priests engaged in the horrible, I don't even want to get into that because I don't think it really relates, but it is a crime, some of the horrible things the priests have done. So now here comes every day corned beef, or not every day, but every year, and our children are hearing this, Phil. Children are hearing this. Our elderly are hearing this. People are hearing this constant discussion of, well, we're going to make corned beef. Now, you know, I'm not saying that...
Well, let me ask you, you think people are doing it on purpose?
No, I'm not saying that it is on purpose. I'm saying that the intent was originally a very innocent, but now it's become, with the opening of society, a sexual connotation, and some people think it's funny, so they start hitting it harder. Until finally you have, when St. Patrick's Day arrives, this... the chorus of, oh, we're going to have corned beef tonight. We're going to, and this and that. So that's why I am.
So you're telling me that St. Patrick's Day therefore has lost its religious meaning.
I believe it has. Yeah, I believe it has. Yeah.
And so you endorse this move away from the religious theme of St. Patrick's Day to a secular.
Absolutely. I think it is the best possible thing. Get it away from the religious theme for now. So that the corned beef, this sort of theme, this paradigm of corned beef being read as sexual, calms down, and within a few years, I think you're back to the religious meaning of St. Patrick's Day, which is to celebrate this great saint.
We're talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier about the secularization of St. Patrick's Day. I mean, we've often talked about that when it comes to Christmas, but St. Patrick's Day, this is a religious holiday now that is also being viewed by some as one that needs a secularization. There's a lot of schools that are calling it O'Green Day or Green Day or Irish Day. What else, Doug? Have you heard anything else?
No, Green Day, Irish Day, Shamrock Day, the day of the there is, believe it or not, Phil, there's two kinds of, and I didn't know this, but there's the leprechaun, and there's another kind of Irish mythical figure that they want to call the day after. But there's some that's called the day of the leprechaun, or the day the leprechaun walks the earth, or the leprechaun walks at night.
That's the name of the holiday.
That's the name of the holiday. Trying to get it away from this St. Patrick's thing.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Should St. Patrick's Day become more secularized because it has a bad connotation because of the Catholic connection to it? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, as we talk about St. Patrick's Day and the fact that it is in need of a secularization. And what that means is less religious, more...
Well, yeah, Phil, I call it less religious and more green beer, and I don't mean to say that there should be more drinking, but I think the religious connotation of St. Patrick's Day now, I think, is a negative thing, given all the problems the Catholic Church has had. And then you throw into the mix, like I said, corn beef, corn, the obvious sort of, I think a very unseemly interpretation that can be put on it. So I think that what we need... I'm in favor of it. I think that what is needed here is a secular celebration of the holiday of St. Patrick's Day.
All right. Which would be called what?
Well, I think you could still call it St. Patrick's Day. I don't think the Catholics would like that. But I think Green Day, but as we mentioned, Leprechaun Day.
All right. 877-876-7445. Let's go on to Dougie here. Dougie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Phil? Hey, Doug Danger. I think it's great that you're a gay man, you're a gay journalist, and all this and that. And
Wait! What's that got to do with it?
Well, that's who you keep
saying.
Why are
you bringing that up?
Well, you're a gay.
Well,
man.
I am a gay man. I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist.
And you're very proud of that, apparently.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you Irish? Yes, you are.
Oh,
and you know why I know?
Why?
Do you know why I know? Because you've got that accent.
I'm not Irish, you bloody idiot.
Am I bothering you? Am I bothering you about your accent? Am I saying, hey, you must be Irish, look at that accent?
I'm not Irish, you mug. I'm Scottish.
Oh, you're Irish.
Okay. Anyway, I could say,
are you Scottish? Yeah. Well, then knock it off with your accent.
Well,
no, that's not the same thing.
That's how we speak in Scotland, laddie. Anyway,
laddie. Get out of here with that laddie.
Why don't we change the name? Let's all get hammered, drunk, and go to work day. How about that instead of St. Patrick's Day?
Well, you're Scottish, so that right away, you hate Irish people, don't you? Is that the whole thing?
No.
There's too
much hatred in Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland. No, I grew up with a lot of hatred with my family and the church, and I became a Buddhist man.
A Buddhist?
Hi!
So, are you trying to tell me you're a Buddhist with that dress?
Okay, can we get to the point here? Now, this gentleman called about St. Patrick's Day. So what did you want to say there, Dougie? You agree with Doug?
I don't agree with me.
Hey, Doug.
Do you agree with me that we ought to get rid of the corn, you know what I mean by corned? You know what I'm saying?
I'm guessing you're making a gay expression about cornholing something.
No, that ain't just... No, hey, that's not gay. That's not gay. If you've seen the adult films I've seen, that ain't strictly gay, friend.
Well, I don't think it should be called Cornhole Day. I don't think Cornhole Day would be a good...
I didn't say that. See, that's the thing about the Scots. You got no subtlety. I didn't bring that up. Well, you laughing?
Why not? Let's all get drunk.
All right. Okay. So. All right.
You know what I think I'm going to do? Because I'm gay. You think I'm some kind of a sissy, right? I think I'll come to wherever you are. Are you in Scotland right now? I'm going to come over there and kick your ass. I'm going to come over there and kick your ass, and then we'll see what you think about it.
Okay, what's the point of that?
I don't like this guy.
Oh, that's okay. I think you're grand. I think you're absolutely grand, but you're
fine. Grand, huh? You know what you sound like? You sound like that guy I saw on TV the other day, that little guy that played bass for that band. What was the name of that band? Creamed.
Cream?
Yeah, Cream.
What about him?
This guy sounds like that guy that played bass.
Jack Bruce.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're fat.
The hell he is. He talked like you.
All right.
St. Patrick was a slave that came from Rome with the British army. Is that what you said?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
The British and the Romans were bloody enemies. Why would there be a British army coming from Rome? Come on now. Get your facts right.
Are you an idiot or something?
Okay, look. Thanks very much, Dougie. 877-876-PHIL. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry show. He obviously has that wrong.
Well, I don't really know the history, do you?
Yes, the British invaded. The Romans invaded Britain, and I think they attempted to invade Ireland, although they were not successful. And obviously, one of the slave soldier, whatever the hell they brought with them, was this guy St. Patrick.
Do you think his name was Patrick?
What do you mean? Do I think it?
Do you think his given Roman name was Patrick?
No, I don't think his given Roman name was Patrick. It's some other name that he took that the Catholic Church gave him after it beatified him and made him into a saint. But the Romans invaded Britain and I think attempted to invade Ireland and were unsuccessful, but nonetheless attempted, you know. And I think that Patrick, if I've got the story wrong, I got the story wrong. And I don't really give a damn, you know.
Now that's the whole thing, Phil. If I can just say something, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And here's why I bring that up. To keep us on track, because if I've listened to a lot of talk shows. And what happens is someone brings up an interesting point, and the host, in this case yourself, Phil, will start saying, oh, yeah, that's really interesting, and get sidetracked. Look, I'm gay, and if there's one thing that I have learned after coming out 3 weeks ago, it's that this world is a cruel world. It's filled with a lot of cruel people, and they will make life difficult for you unless you stay on point and unless you know what it is you're talking about. I'm gay. I'm a gay reporter. I'm a gay journalist. I'm a gay man, but also I'm in totality gay. And I say that because St. Patrick's Day needs to be moved from corned. It needs to be moved from corned into a leprechaun kind of, or a green leprechaun, some kind of a non-Catholic and more of a mythic druid style celebration. Otherwise, I think you've got problems.
All right, 877, whatever. 877.
What does that mean, whatever?
Well, I don't know what you mean. I understand what you're saying. Move it away from Catholicism into a more of a druid thing. I don't get. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Margaret's on the line from Santa Monica. Margaret, go ahead. You're on here with Doug Danger, who is with the Orange County Courier and writes, of course, their entertainment column. Margaret, you write a column yourself. How are you doing?
Bill, I'm doing good, and I don't think I've met Doug. Doug, how are you?
I'm fine. Are you a writer?
Yes, I am. I write for the Dickman Syndicate.
I didn't understand. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I didn't understand that.
Well, I said I write for the Dickland Syndicate.
I've never heard of it. Never.
Well, that doesn't make any difference because I've never really heard of the Orange County Courier, and I'm not saying that to get back at you.
No, not much. I mean,
Well, why the hostility?
Well, because I didn't know you were going to bring another writer on.
No, he didn't bring me on. I'm a caller.
Did you have to think about what it was you were going to be? I mean, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Will you just listen to what the caller wants to say? Yes, she's a writer. She introduced herself as a writer as a courtesy. Maybe the two of you would find some common ground. You know, it's no big threat.
My God.
All right, I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask your guest, Phil, this evening, Mr. Danger.
It's Doug Danger.
I noticed you spell it D-A-N-N-G-E-R. That is not Danger? Danger?
No, ma'am. It is not. There's no Germanic pronunciation. It's Danger.
All right, I'm sorry. I wanted to ask Mr. Danger, Are you saying that you want the holiday to be about only the con, as in the lepra or the Pentecon? There are two, and you did mention.
Is that what it's called, a Pentecon? I knew there was a different one.
Yes, there's a leprechaun, there is the Pentecon, and there is the Grovercon or the Gropercon.
And I'm not familiar with a Gropercon. That sounds fake.
Why does it sound fake?
Well, it sounds like, you know, it's a leprechaun that gropes.
No. I looked this up in an old history of Ireland, and the con, of which there are these three degrees of con, lepra, penta, and grope, or groper.
All right.
So you're saying you want this to be a day of the lepra?
No, ma'am, I'm not saying a day of the lepra. I don't think people are going to relate to that.
And now, what is the lepra?
What is the lepra?
Are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening. What are you talking about?
I said there's leprechaun, pentacon, and the grovercon, or the gropercon.
Yeah, the grovercon.
Is it the grovercon?
Yeah. And here's the interesting thing, Phil. The grovercon is said to be in the garden of most of the people whose homes he is sort of doing his mischief. He's a mythical figure, the grovercon. But because he lives in the garden, there were some people in California thought it'd be funny to call it the garden grovercon as an Orange County thing.
Well, I don't find that funny at all. Well, I think I don't find that funny in the least. The lepra, well, now I've lost my place, and I know you're going to a break, so I'll stick around, Phil, and get my notes together.
No, I'm hanging up right now.
What an...
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the lepra. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't go away mad.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our News and Information Hour coming up at the top of the hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We have Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier with us as we talk about the secularization of St. Patrick's Day. You know what I should have done, Doug, and I didn't do because we were busy doing other stuff? I wanted to look up these different mythic creatures that you're talking about.
Look, Phil, you don't have to look it up. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've done due diligence. And the reason why I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist is I'm not the kind of journalist who's going to make a claim about something and then just assume that you or your listeners are too stupid to go look it up. That's something that perhaps a straight journalist would do. I'm not going to do that. I'm gay. All right? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, you're getting jumpy because I'm mentioning where I'm coming from. But the point is... look at the Rutgers case. This Rutgers roommate has been convicted for a role in a gay teen suicide. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but if somebody tried to videotape me, there wouldn't be a trial. That guy would have been thrown out the window just before I jumped and killed myself. I'd throw him out the window.
So you're saying you would kill yourself?
There's a good chance, yeah. But not before I threw that guy out the window, too. So you'd see two bodies hit the deck that day, Phil, and the first one would be some guy with the name of whatever this guy is. Excuse me for saying this, and I know it's going to sound racist, but he was a dothead or whatever.
You mean of Indian extraction? Yes.
All right, Phil, I don't know. I don't have the particulars on the case. That's why I asked you. Okay?
But to say dothead, you've been sitting here talking about gay man, gay journalist, then you refer to a guy as a dothead?
I did not know the man's origin.
You could have said Indian.
I did not know if he's Indian. He might have been Pakistani. He might have been a Sri Lankan. I don't know.
877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey, Doug. How are you this evening?
Yes, sir. Very good. Thank you.
It appears to me, and I'm no gay man or gay journalist or have any opinion otherwise of the fact, but it appears to me that you are kind of defend yourself for some reason, and I'm not sure exactly why.
I'm trying to defend myself?
You get really jumpy if
what does
anybody,
that mean?
Well, you only mentioned the Patrick's
I've got a point of view. I've got a point of view. I'm talking about St. Patrick's Day and Leprechaun.
Okay, and because you're a gay man and a gay journalist, your point of view is more valid? More valid than
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. Well, I think that as a gay man and as a... Yeah, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have a more insightful view, which helps me as a reporter. Okay.
Okay.
Because
why is
my eye?
I'm a heterosexual male Protestant.
Yeah.
So why is your view more insightful than mine?
You're heterosexual male. Are you a hetero? What do you do for a living?
What do I do?
You're
for
a Protestant.
Living? I work. I work for a living.
Well, I understand. That's what you have to do for a living. But I wonder what specifically it was. Nobody, in other words, does a living not working.
I am not a writer, because I don't want you to think that I'm trying to...
Well, now, you see, now you're afraid to tell me what you do for a living, because why? I'll tell you why. Because you're afraid... I'll tell you why. You're afraid to be identified with the gay agenda.
What?
How am I afraid of...
Why is it...
Yeah, what is that?
No, you're not afraid of me. You're afraid of the gay agenda.
Why would I be afraid of the gay agenda?
Well, because you don't want to tell me what you do for a living. Now, it's okay.
Because
that's all right. You don't have to tell me.
I work
but
for
as a Presbyterian...
I earn a living.
Well, everybody works for a living.
I didn't say
that's a
Presbyterian. I said a Protestant. There's a difference between Protestant and Presbyterian. I do believe...
No, there's not a difference. The Protestant is an overview of all...
Okay, what difference does it make? Where are we going with this?
Okay,
so let me ask you something. Are you the judge here? Because you sound like a judge sometimes. Like, oh, where are we going with this, counselor? You know, are you the judge, Phil?
No, I'm just wondering where you're going.
What's that?
I have a question. Here's my question. Am I to understand...
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right?
I think you made that abundantly clear.
Well, all right, but so far, that's the only thing you've been talking about. We're talking about Leprechaun Day, and you haven't said one thing about it.
I'm fixing to ask you about it.
Why are you fixating on being gay?
Are you proposing that we should take the church, and by the church, I suppose we mean the Catholic Church, or are you supposing we should take the Catholic Church out of St. Patrick's Day? And from your statement earlier, from the first caller, or before the first caller, we should take the church out of the holiday so that it can become more prevalent in the holiday? That doesn't make any sense. Can you explain that to me?
Oh, my God. I've been on the air for almost 40 minutes, and you haven't heard a thing.
I've heard everything.
You haven't heard a thing.
I've heard everything.
I said, I'm gay, all right?
And what does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
No. I just want to know. I'm gay.
Do you
acknowledge that?
Will you
acknowledge that I'm gay?
Is your gayness hinged upon my acknowledgement of your gayness?
Are you homophobic? You are homophobic.
I have absolutely no feelings.
Am I gay?
I have no feelings, whether they be warm and fuzzy or cold and hateful.
Oh, warm and fuzzy. You have no feelings at all. None.
I have.
Then why'd you call up? And the very first thing that you said was you were asking me about me being gay. If you don't have any feelings, why?
I've only asked you. Why
Doug,
do you think,
what are we trying to? What's the point? Hold on for a minute, guys.
My name? No, I'm just that. You know I'm gay. You know I'm gay, right?
Bully, and you want to?
A bully?
Your opinion on people?
I'm just.
That's exactly what you've done to every color of the opinion.
Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Okay, Joe, this is Phil, Joe, this is Phil, and you've got to be quiet when the host is talking.
I see you running your big fat mouth. Phil's trying to say something.
Doug, shut up for a minute, would you please?
Just shut.
Doug, hold on.
I didn't say you, I said your mouth.
All right, hold on. Hold on.
No, the weight of your mouth.
Hold on, will you?
Yes, sir, Phil.
Hold on, both of you guys. Hold on, guys. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what this argument about gay has to do with it when we were talking about St. Patrick's Day. I will agree with Joe that your constant reference to yourself as gay man, gay journalist, forces people to at least notice that.
Okay, they notice it. They don't have to ask me about it.
Hold on. Yes, they do have to ask you about it, because if you keep saying it, it's something they're going to ask you about. Now, you have made that an issue. We've not talked anything about the... Leprechaun.
I tried to talk about the lepra, okay?
the lepra, whatever you call it, we haven't talked about it. And I, and if it's okay with Joe, you know.
No, Joe won't, Joe won't even say whether I'm gay or not. And I insist that he acknowledge it.
I have acknowledged the fact that you have claimed to be a gay man slash gay journalist, or maybe that's one word altogether, I don't know. But my question is, why does that make your point more valid than anyone else's? Why does that make your opinion more valid than anyone, any other human being, whether they be gay, straight, lesbian, homophobic?
I will tell you. I will tell you.
Oh,
because the gay man is a superior man. Gay men are superior.
So how are you any
superior to straight men?
We have more
courage. We have more courage. We have, if you think about it, we do, because we take more crap than anybody, so we have more courage. We've been beaten up, and we're still here. We have more intelligence. We got more money. Think about it.
Okay.
You want to go down whose path?
Did
you hear the gay reference? He wants to go down some path.
Hold on.
As a superior gay man, any difference in, let's say, the Aryan nation who believes that they're superior white race? How can you sit here and tell me that and not?
If they're gay, if they're gay, they are superior.
And Aryan, they're superior. Okay.
No, I didn't say Aryan. I said if they're gay.
You are full of hot air. No matter
I didn't say what you just said.
Hold on. God, hold on, or I'm going to hang up on both of you guys. I'm hanging up on both of you guys. Right, I'm hanging up on this, Joe.
Good move, Phil.
I just hung up on you, too, fat mouth. Because gay men are superior. All right. Does that mean Aryan nations? If they're gay. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. It just gets weirder and weirder with each passing day. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Good points I was going to make, but he kept saying he was afraid of me being gay. And
Doug, why don't you be quiet and let people finish what they're saying?
That last caller was afraid of me being gay.
No, he was not. What he was trying to figure out, I think, was why you kept bringing it up. And we still haven't talked about the main reason why you've come on the show. And welcome back, folks. It's the Phil Hendry Show here. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. St. Patrick's Day has become as much a topic of discussion when it comes to the secularization of holidays as Christmas, because St. Patrick's Day is, in point of fact, originally a religious holiday, one celebrated by Catholics, I think, specifically, because it's a saint, and the Protestant faith doesn't really... Protestants don't acknowledge saints.
Well, yes, they do, Phil. I don't know where you got that idea. Protestants, what do you mean?
Protestants don't acknowledge saints because they believe it's the worship of idols.
No, that's wrong. Protestants have been celebrating St. Patrick. St. Patrick is a Protestant, or was part of the Protestant. I don't know what you're talking about.
I do. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. It's Larry. Hi, Larry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to the radio show trying to learn a little bit about the... Today, but all I keep hearing is about this guy, how he's a gay guy and a gay reporter, and how much courage he's got, and gay men have more courage than anybody else. And this guy's an idiot. People with courage, is the people that fought in the wars and died to give you the right to sit there and talk about you being a gay reporter and a gay guy. That's
how do you know a lot of those people that died in the war? How do you know a lot of those guys that died in the war weren't gay?
Oh, I can guarantee you 99% of them wasn't gay.
No, you can't guarantee that. No, you can't guarantee that.
Oh, man.
You can't guarantee that.
Come on.
So you're afraid. You don't like gay people. I got more guts. If we had an army of gay guys, that Iraq war wouldn't have lasted 2 weeks.
Well, I tell you what,
we would have kicked ass. Kicked ass.
Well, I tell you what, you tell Jesus Christ that when you meet him, Val, see what he tells you.
I think he's going to send you to hell before he sends me to hell.
Okay, gentlemen, hold on for a minute, okay?
Yeah, I think so.
How ignorant you are.
What? Wait a second.
Just about how ignorant you are.
You may say that I'm ignorant because I don't know your Bible. But you can't tell me that you can guarantee 99% of the guys that have died in wars were all straight guys, because that just...
No, you're right.
You can't guarantee that at all.
I can't guarantee that, no. No, that's probably something I said. I can't guarantee that, but I guarantee it, majority of them were not gay.
No, you can't even guarantee that.
So what are you trying to tell me? All guys in the military are gay?
No, I'm just telling you that there are a lot of gay guys that put their life on the line for this country, and if you can't acknowledge that, Jesus ain't going to want you in heaven.
Oh, I can.
Yeah.
I can probably not.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Take it easy, will you?
No. I won't take it easy. I'm a gay. You know I'm gay, right?
Oh my God! I done heard it about 100 times. Yeah, I know you're gay.
Now I'll get over to the subject of St. Patrick's Day. Is that you wanted to talk? No, it's not. It is a big deal because as a gay man, I got the inside track on this St. Patrick's Day stuff. I feel, and I'm protecting your children, sir, as well as other people's children, this whole corned beef, okay, in my opinion, is, I think it's an adult term. I don't think it belongs in a holiday that young kids celebrate along with adults. That's number one. Number two, I don't think we need a religious St. Patrick. I think it could be called Leprechaun Day or, you know, Green Shamrock Day or the Day of the Shamrock, something like that. Why? Because people are starting to get cute with this whole corned beef thing. Now, you understand what I mean by that, right?
No, not really.
Well, how do I say this?
Well, you think it's a sexual term, right?
Yes.
I don't see it, man. It's a way that food is prepared in Ireland, or a traditional way of curing beef. Okay.
It might be a gay way of thinking. I don't know.
Oh, really? A gay way of thinking?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen enough adult movies. I've seen enough straight adult movies. You know what? Okay, I better not say it, but let me put it this way. You like your sausage smoked?
All right. That's it.
Well.
No, That's it. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Right. So you're going to hang up on me.
Yes, I'm hanging up on you because you've turned this into a disgusting conversation. All we were talking
about.
And I thought it was valid.
No, this is the guy that told me that gays, I forget what you said about us. We weren't going to heaven or something.
Just listen to me.
This was a conversation. Yeah, you did. You said I wasn't going to go to heaven because I was gay.
No. I said you tell Jesus Christ that when you meet him. I didn't say you were going to heaven. I just said you tell him, hey, I'm gay.
Hey, you ever heard of Alexander the Great? You've heard of Alexander the Great.
When somebody calls you gay or queer or whatever word you want to use, but yeah, you sit there and call another guy a dothead, that's all right?
That's right.
I called him a dothead because I couldn't tell what country he was from.
If somebody don't have the right pronunciation of gay and call you queer, that would offend you, right?
No, calling me queer because you don't like gay people. That's why you're saying it. Some people just forget it. They don't know what it's called, so they just say, queer?
And I say, I ain't got no problem with gay people. I just don't deal with them. I want to stay away from them. What they do, I think's wrong. It's a sin. It's in the Bible. It's a sin.
Then why would you say that you eat corned beef then? Yeah, so you can't get around that. You eat corned beef.
So?
Wow.
That's
you admit
right.
to
Big
it.
Deal.
Oh, would you get out of here?
Okay, Phil, I'm sick.
I hung up on that jackass. What is the are you saying you eat corned beef? All right, listen, thank you very much, Larry. Good call.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, young man, thank you. 877-876-7444. No.
Larry, let's get back on the air.
No. I'm sure the guys get, did you admit that you eat corned beef?
Yeah, well, let them have a chance to explain themselves.
Oh, look at you guys, all of a sudden Doug Danger fans, huh?
No, it's just not to be only fair.
Yes, Doug.
You're not even let me explain myself, is that it? Are you not going to let me explain myself? Is that it?
You already did explain what you were upset about.
Yes. That guy said he didn't like gays, and yet he eats corned beef. Man, now I've heard it all. What are you laughing at, man?
What am I laughing at? You have got to be one of the screwiest guys I've ever met in my life.
I'm telling you that if you want to secularize a holiday, I think this is a good holiday because they're starting to slip these terms in. And even people that don't like gay men and gay journalists like what I am, I'm gay. And then you sit down to a healthy, heaping, steaming portion of corned beef. How do you think they got it corned? I'll tell you.
Okay, so anyway, that's Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Thank you so very deeply, Doug, for your asinine commentary tonight.
Did you put it on?
No, Doug, Bud, whatever your name is.
His name's Bud. My name's Bud. I'm not Doug.
I know, but I'm so freaking flustered, and it's so hot in here, and it's just, yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for that wonderful hour. And as far as St. Patrick's Day goes, I know that we are a few minutes from being into St. Patrick's Day, which is the 17th of March, and it falls on a Saturday night this year. So, and this is a leap year, so it was a Thursday. Does that mean it was a Thursday night last year, I guess? Will I be participating? The answer is most probably no. Why is that? I don't know. You know, I people have called St. Patrick's Day and New Year's Eve amateur night. And I noticed someone made a comment today. You know, you shouldn't really call it amateur night because nobody gets paid to drink. And, of course, then I was thinking, but I, you know, if I were paid to drink, it would be a great thing. But in any event, it is a day that I kind of avoid the bar rooms of America because that's when people who ordinarily probably wouldn't be imbibing will be imbibing. But happy St. Pat's for all you guys. I don't think I've worn green on a St. Patrick's Day in a long time.
You ever put like a shamrock up on a website and it'll find it out?
What?
Put a shamrock on a website.
All right, we'll put a shamrock on a website. You mean during the news break, just before we hit the...
Yeah.
All right, just before we hit the news, we'll do it. All right, we've got a news and information hour coming up. The U.S. suspect in the Afghan shootings has been identified. What you already have probably heard, Jason Russell, the author of the Kony video. I mean, this cat really flipped. The defendant in the Rutgers spying case has been found guilty of hate crimes. George Clooney has been arrested and has been released. And the Travis Barton case. And we're going to talk about that, and there's a whole bunch of other bizarre stuff. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, here we are at the El Pacifico, and it is St. Patrick's Day. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, and of course, it is our news and information hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Good to see you guys here. Bud, good job on the phones tonight.
Thanks. Well, it's pretty interesting tonight trying to get everybody on track with Doug Danger about Leprechaun.
Did you find out what that thing was called, that con?
No, I was looking into your Kindle.
Yeah, because I have a Kindle here on my iPhone. And I also have another Kindle in larger form. But it's funny how my iPhone has, I got to tell you, I don't talk a lot about about Apple products because I'm not a real loser of a, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not addicted to Apple products. I mean, I'm sure I will be. But not now, and I'm not going to sit here and talk ad nauseum about how marvelous they are and Steve Jobs' life was and how blessed the entire event, you know, turned out to be. I like it, and I use it for everything, my phone, my internet. We were updating the website last night from Fox, where we were working on New Girl on Fox, but I was able to actually, if you go to our homepage, you'll see on the homepage there a picture of my ugly mug. It says Phil in makeup on the set of New Girl, and it is a fake. It looks like I have a pierced nose, but in fact, it's, you know.
What, it's kind of like the makeup, what they do for a monster.
Well, not really, but yeah. The lady who did that, Shelley is her name, and she does do special effects makeup, so that was pretty cool looking. I don't know why I brought that up, other than to say that we were able to update the website from the iPhone. But I've got this Kindle, and I have a book here called The History of Ireland, and this is where I had found, and I downloaded this book because it was, well, first of all, it was only a buck.
They got a lot of books that you can download the book for only a dollar over there.
Oh, yeah, they've got a million books on in the Kindle shop and on Amazon that you could put in your Kindle, and they're only like a dollar. And they're cool. This one's called The History of Ireland. So what the hell have I got to lose, man? For like a buck, I downloaded this thing. And some of it is a little some of it's just flat wrong because the book was written in the 19th century. It's like a whole history of Ireland, but the book itself is over 100 years old. But the author did bring up another kind of mythic Irish figure, mythic Irish character or being. It's not a leprechaun. But it's a something con. It's like a, I don't know.
A Rubicon.
Not a Rubicon. No, C-H-U-N. Leprechaun. Some other kind of con. The leprechaun has a thing that he does, which is he's got that bag of gold or some jazz.
Yeah, he's supposed to have like a bag of gold. And what do you know about it? You're black. Doesn't make any difference, man. What do you mean I'm black? Come on. Why would he know?
Bud, why don't you shut up? How do you know about it? You're black. How do you know anything about it? You got a plate in your head.
Man, I got you. Shut up.
Fact of the matter is, go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, leprechaun has a bag of gold he's protected.
Yes. And if you find the gold, then the leprechaun's got to give it to you. Isn't that it?
Yeah, something like that, but You have to keep your eye on a leprechaun. The minute that you take your eye off the leprechaun, then he's going to take off.
You have to keep your eye on a leprechaun because the minute... Okay. Well, so that's the leprechaun.
What's the other kind?
The other kind, I forget, but it ends with con. This guy is a much more of a mischievous kind of a guy. He rides around... Seriously, he rides around on your dog, on your pets, like they're horses, and he drinks too much. So it's like a drunk leprechaun who rides on dogs and cats.
What are you talking about? You're making that up.
Hey, bud, let me ask, what are you, like an expert in this stuff or something?
No.
Well, then how do you know? I'm not making it up. How can I make that up?
That don't make sense.
What makes sense about a leprechaun?
Well, I mean, it don't make no sense.
What doesn't make any sense?
The fact that it's riding around on a cat.
Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense.
Uh-uh.
Then what makes sense about a leprechaun hiding his gold?
Well, I mean, that's what a leprechaun does.
Well, I'm telling you, this other kind of con rides around on a cat and a dog and is drunk. Why doesn't that make sense, but a leprechaun does make sense?
Everybody knows about a leprechaun. That's going to protect his gold.
What? You guys are brainwashed. I can't believe your brains have been washed in green beer. You know, I mean, you guys are, you're cool with leprechauns, but any other kind of con, well, you know, Rubicon doesn't make any sense. Like a leprechaun makes sense. The whole thing is screwball. You know, I wrote a TV show once. I didn't write a TV show. I had an idea for a TV pilot. And I never did get it sold, but here's the idea. The idea is simply this, that a leprechaun, and maybe this has been done, but my idea was, a leprechaun is discovered in Ireland by some young, you know, you have to have the female. So he's a male leprechaun, and I guess that's the only kind.
No, I don't know. A female leprechaun? I'd have to look it up in a science journal.
Yeah, you looked it up in a science journal, but I'm sure they'll have female leprechauns.
No, they don't have that. That don't exist.
Oh. In any event, the TV show that I thought of goes something like this. So like a widow, or, you know, she's a widow, and she's young and beautiful, blah, blah, blah. She sees this leprechaun, and she wants this leprechaun's gold, and I think she gets it. And the leprechaun is a guy that she, you know, you got to have the love interest thing. So she falls in love with the leprechaun and brings him back to New York with her. And she now has this gold that she's able to use for some school. Because you got to make the whole thing really, you know, audience-friendly. And your heroine, which is this female, she's going to be the, you know, the person through whose eyes the audience sees the world. And she has to be a good person. And the leprechaun is this dude who, you know, there's a love thing between the leprechaun and her, you know.
But, yeah, but their kids would be a mutant, probably, technically.
Yeah, what about the mutated kid?
Their kids would be mutants? Yeah, that's great, bud. What a thought. That's a nice thought. What do you mean, mutated kid?
Well, like I was saying, if they went ahead and did it, which you don't even know if they can do it on account of what has a leprechaun got.
Probably look like more like a shamrock than anything else. Do you think?
I don't know, man. I haven't spent time wondering what a leprechaun's you-know-what looks like. A shamrock. Get out of here.
Well, I don't know.
Would their kids be mutants? Probably in the world of television, man. Like, if the astronaut had sex with Genie from the Lantern, probably the baby would... Well, what happened to what do you call the kid?
What kid?
The one that was the witch.
Oh, yeah, that kid on Bewitched.
Yeah. I forget the kid's name, but the kid could... The kid was able to make, you know, to disappear and fly.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, in any event... I don't know, bud. I guess that's something you got to get past standards and practices at the network. First of all, what does a leprechaun penis look like? We've got Robert to tell us. It's a shamrock. That's great. Second, and I'm sure the network will go for that. Secondly...
Well, they'd be able to show it at least.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's right. They'd be able to show it. Because it looks like a shamrock?
Yeah.
So what, the guy...
Think about it.
I'm thinking about it. The guy unzips and I'm a shamrock? I don't think so.
Well, at least it's worth the run by standard and practices.
Yeah. Yeah, you do that, man. You run that by standards and practices. So anyway, I'm trying to get to the end of this jackass idea I had. So yeah, so it's their life together in New York. He's a leprechaun. She's in love, and he's in love with her. And, you know, pretty soon I guess he doesn't want to go back to Ireland. And it's all about him becoming human. You know, it's this typical bullcrap. I don't think it was going to work. I don't think it ever get picked up. I mean, you really have to have some. It's My Favorite Martian. It's every one of those shows, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like it's My Favorite Martian or I Dream of a Genie.
I Dream of Genie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all of those shows. And there was a very interesting, and I think this is, you guys will find this interesting. Somebody put forth the idea that television... When the country is in distress, when America is going through some trauma, like in the 60s when there was the war in Vietnam, the assassination of Kennedy, and there was urban upheaval, and, of course, the battle for civil rights, all kinds of cultural change was happening, the television sitcoms reflected a fantasy or fantastic view. There was I Dream of Jeannie. There was My Favorite Martian. There was My Mother the Car. There was The Flying Nun. There was all of these supernatural things. So now we have a kind of a return to that, although it's not really in the sitcom genre, but we've got Fringe, you know.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of the ones like that.
What's that, Alcatraz?
Well, what you say, we got a lot of J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, every time the country's in distress, J.J. Abrams writes good.
In any event, we do have more fantasy or fantastical type television shows now. And it has been a very disquieting 10 years, hasn't it? It's been the marked opposite, one would say, of the 90s, which were very... when I think back in the 90s, you know, after the communist empire fell apart... And I think the time of President Clinton's presidency was a good time economically for the country. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, we're always going to have the divide there politically, but things were going good, I think. I remember how smoking the economy was. I mean, you couldn't ignore it. But, boy, things got lousy fast, man. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More here in our News and Information Hour as actor George Clooney is arrested at a Sudan-pressed protest in Washington, and he is arrested along with his father. His father is a guy that I remember seeing on TV as one of the former hosts of AMC, American Classics.
That's what it is.
American Mambo Classics. No, Movie Classics. We'll be back with that in a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
This is your
right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, if you go to philhendryshow.com, you're going to see there our website. And that's where, you know, that's where we hang out. That's where we represent. You know, that's where it all am at. That's where you can sign up for a backstage pass, which will give you access to our classic shows, over a decade worth of full radio shows. This is not some cheesy regular radio website where it's 2-minute clips of this and, oh, here's a really interesting bit from last week. No, these are the full shows going back over a decade. We have character clips. We have what we call, quote, other stuff, and that might be radio interviews that we did. It might be a TV interview. We have a Q&A there for live from Salt Lake City. There's an interview I did on NPR many years ago. And then we also have home movies, if you can dig this. I mean, these are the home movies that were shot by Daddy Hendry, my father. So these go from 1945 to around 1982, almost 40 years. We have that stuff. We have our recent shows. We have our Saturday night shows, all of them, and the video casts. So it's all there at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. And then on top of everything else, every show that we do here live is a video cast. And our, you know, Phil TV is cranking right now. Join us at philhendryshow.com. Become a member of our backstage pass family. We had another great month. We had another record-breaking month.
How's that possible? I don't see it keep going up.
We do, man. I mean, I swear to God, every month I get the financial on our website, and then, well, we got to go. I mean, we have to roll back 1 month. I'm telling you, this month we went up again. It was about a, oh, I don't know, but like a 1% or 0.75%, but still. So I think what we're proving is if you give people a lot of content, which is what we do, we got more content on our website than any in the world of radio. We might have more content on our website, period, than anybody else. If you give people content, then it's worth it. So join us, won't you? Thank you. George Clooney, the Academy Award-winning movie actor, was arrested outside the Sudanese embassy in Washington while protesting attacks by the African nation's government on its southern regions and the blocking of humanitarian aid. Clooney, 50, was taken, and boy, does he look good for 50.
Well, you want to talk about how the guy looks? Come on, man. That's a very important story.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. Okay, I'm sorry, okay?
What are you telling me to shut up for?
Because I know you're going, yeah, just to agree with him. Clooney, 50, was taken into custody yesterday and charged with crossing a police line, a misdemeanor. According to George Ogilvie, a Secret Service spokesman, he was taken to a police station for processing. He paid a $100 penalty and was released, according to Gwendolyn Crump, a police spokeswoman. This is a $100, they describe it as a $100 penalty. That means, and they do this in cases of civil disobedience, when they're processing lots and lots and lots of people, they will simply say, if you pay the $100 fine or the $100 penalty, they don't call it a fine, then the case is dismissed, or it's not dismissed, but it is adjudicated, and you're free to go. So essentially, you're admitting guilt, kind of like a, you know, a ticket.
Yeah, when you go and you pay a ticket and you don't have to go to the courtroom.
Exactly. And believe me, don't I know.
Yeah, but one time when you got that one ticket of drinking on the beach.
Well, thanks for telling everybody, Robert. That's just great.
But you ain't never been shy about it.
Well, maybe I wanted to be shy tonight. So anyway, now that they've taken you into your their confidence, as the man said. Now, what happened was I was on the beach, and I was there with Maria, and we were drinking margaritas, and here comes two L.A. County sheriff in their shorts and their, you know, and they said, is that booze? And we said, yeah, and they said, well, that's against the law, and I said, that's nice, and we got a ticket. And sure enough, like an idiot, I missed the date to pay the ticket by 1 day. Well, that's all it takes. And I went down to the Malibu courthouse there. I went up to the window, first hoping against hope, and I said, hey, you know, I'm here, I'm a day late. Oh, you're a day late? Yeah. Oh, well, just sit down over there, sir. And I, so what she was basically telling me was, you're going into court.
Do you think he's going to go to jail and everything?
No, it just meant that I had to wait around for the court to open up, and I'd have to go in there, I'd have to wait for him to call my case, I'd have to stand in front of the judge, and say, oh, you're drinking, $100 fine, or whatever it was, pay the fine and get the hell out of there. It meant it was going to be a long day. That's what I thought. So I'm sitting in this, and you know, there was one guy, I'll never forget, I was sitting in the waiting area there, waiting for court to go into session, and there was one loudmouth jackass. This is a guy, these certain people that, I don't know, he was so angry that he was given this ticket for drinking on the beach that he decided he would rally the troops, and he was talking real loud and talking like a jackball and really, you know, trying to piss off the bailiff. And there was a bailiff standing there. And this bailiff at one point, by bailiff, I mean an L.A. County sheriff. And the sheriff, I remember saying something along the lines of, you know, when we go into the courtroom, you're to be quiet and you don't stand up and you don't go in front of the judge until the judge calls you. Okay. And if you break any of these rules, well, we all know how that goes. That was his, you know, his phrasing.
Yeah, he's talking to a bunch of criminals.
Oh, yeah, he's talking to a bunch of criminals. Well, anyway, we went into the courtroom. We all sit down, and the first thing the judge asks is, how many people are here for drinking on the beach? Well, I raised my hand, and by God, it was like almost 90% of everybody in there was in there for drinking on the beach. And then she said, I'm going to dismiss all of your cases. Because I happen to think, now, I don't know, is this called, I've heard of jury nullification. I didn't know that there was such a thing as judicial or judge nullification. But in a way, that's what she was doing, because she said, how many are here for the drink on the beach? I raised my hand. Like 90% of the people there raised their hands. And she said, I'm going to dismiss all of your cases because I happen to think it's a ridiculous, I swear to God, she said that. She said, I think it's a ridiculous, not law, but, you know, whatever, it's a regulation. And she said, and I don't know if we all had to leave one at a time. I think we had to leave one at a time because they would call our name and we'd say, yes, I'm here. And then they'd, you know, write us off the thing. We split.
Are you kidding me, man? I never had that happen to me before. So she said what? She said, you're free to go?
Yeah, she said, you're free to go. Because and she said, because I happen to think it's a jive-ass law or something like that.
She said jive-ass?
No, she didn't say jive-ass, but she said, you know, I think it's a ridiculous regulation or something like that. It was really, it was pretty heavy. I remember I told Maria and I got back, you know, I said, I guess we weren't even, I mean, it is kind of messed up because you got cops out there giving tickets and then there's a judge saying no reason that they should have given this. So the cops are, why send the cops out there? But I remember, man, I didn't have to pay a fine, nothing. But it was a long day.
What time did you get there?
I got there, man, as soon as I took the kids to school that morning. And I had to be at the school before 8 o'clock, so I took off for Malibu. I got there right as the court opened at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I didn't get out of there until 2 in the afternoon. So I was sitting on my ass for 5 hours, you know, and I knew once they said sit down and wait for the judge, it was going to be a long-ass day. But it kind of, you know, wound up cool.
What's that got to do with George Clooney?
It doesn't have anything to do with George Clooney. I didn't even get to the George Clooney thing yet. I'm going to have to get to the George Clooney thing now. I was telling you about how he got released. 16 others were arrested in that group as well. Anyway, they were protesting the Sudanese. Well, we'll get to the meat of the matter when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and the Rutgers case, too. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, our news and information hour. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman along the way with us. And I just want to let you know where we are in terms of the social media thing, because we're all over it, man. We are all over it. We just, we're like a bad smell on Twitter, man.
Yeah, in fact, everybody go, they can follow me too.
Yeah, I don't do Twitter, man. I think it's gay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can think it's gay, but just, Bud's on Twitter. He's the Bud Dickman. The Bud Dickman. And I'm on Twitter. I'm Real Phil Hendry. Real Phil Hendry. And then we have our Phil Hendry Show account, which is the Phil Hendry Show. By the way, if you hashtag Phil Hendry at Phil Hendry Show, on Twitter, then you go into the running for a free BSP for the month of April, which is coming up. That's a free backstage pass. So hit us up at Twitter. That's Real Phil Hendry, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry or twitter.com/TheBudDickman. So anyway, Clooney gets popped. 16 other people got arrested. They were protesting. This included the NAACP president Benjamin Jealous, Martin Luther King III.
That's real name.
I guess.
I don't know, man. He might have made it up because he got rid of the slave name.
What do you mean the slave name? That sounds just a white guy could be called that too.
Yeah, right.
So you got. I thought when you get rid of the slave name, it's like a Muslim name or something.
Well, sometimes, man, but not all the time. Like Metta World Peace, okay? That Lord Be Free, Lord Free with a World Be Free.
Yeah, I remember World Be Free was pretty cool.
So World Be Free got rid of his slave name, huh?
What was that, Lloyd?
Shut up, man. His slave name was Lloyd Be Free, but then he called it World Be Free, chain it up.
Yeah, okay, fine. Whatever, all right? I mean, God, that's fine. I got nothing against it. I just... So the cat's name is Benjamin Jealous. His name is Benjamin Jealous. Maybe that is a real name. Maybe that is an actual Anglo-Saxon name, for all I know. Martin Luther King III.
Is that a slave name?
Will you shut up? Martin Luther King III and Democratic U.S. Representative Moran and Jim McGovern. The Hollywood star testified March 14th before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee claiming the Sudanese government was killing its own people and blocking aid to the Nuba Mountains and the Blue Nile regions. That evening, he was among the guests invited by President Obama to a state dinner. Clooney, at the Senate hearing, described a visit this month to southern Sudan where he witnessed hundreds of people seeking to hide in caves from Sudanese bombings. Well, I mean, we're looking at a post-colonial world in which there are attempts at consolidating power, and these attempts are being met by the natural instincts of the people to form some kind of a functioning society. So it's a warlord mentality and a warlord environment, and this is only, you know, a few decades since the Europeans left. This is what colonialism does, you know.
What do you mean by colonialism?
When the Europeans went into Africa, at first as slave traders, and then eventually they took land and turned that into crown territories or territories of these different governments and put the people of those regions under a kind of a European system and a European yoke. And you know, the slave trade itself was the slave trade destroyed the African continent. I mean, it set the African continent back hundreds of years. Where Africa should be today and where it is are two vastly different things in large measure because of the slave trade. And I'm not going to get into a big, fat discussion here about this, that, the race of this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I got a whole thing with Stephen Weber today on Twitter, and he's telling me about how this, that. Yeah, great, fine. Look, man, if I got about 10 years, then maybe we can sit down and explain the evolution of the human species and why certain systems of government and why certain cultures and why this, why that. It's too freaking easy to say, and because of the endemic racism of the hoo-da-da-do. It just ain't that simple. People want to make it simple because people want to be pissed. And you can't be pissed if it's a more complex problem than just all you people over there are a-holes and everybody over here is just as pure as the driven snow. You can't, you can't be angry if it's a complex problem that has a lot of different angles to it. And that's what that is. It's as racist to say that whites are basically a violent species, if you will, or a violent race. That's as racist to say that as to say that black people are lazy or, unintelligent or can't fight or whatever those things were that they used to say. They're both ignorant things to say, and they both represent, in my opinion, in large measure, they are both representative of why we've got the problems of race relations today, because it's not only a misunderstanding of black people. And I hate to say this. I really hate to say this, because if I say white people are misunderstood too, then all of my white listeners and everybody hearing that's going, yeah, see, you hear what Phil said. But there isn't a bunch of people more ready to jump on the freaking self-pity bandwagon than whites. Yeah, see, we didn't do anything wrong because everyone were misunderstood too. I'm saying, you know, there's a whole lot of understanding that ought to go around. So,
that's pretty interesting, though, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, let's move off of that before I start. I did a whole. I went over to Instagram. That's another social disease site. I mean, a
STD site.
Yeah, that's another sexually transmitted disease site. No, Instagram is it's a social networking site, and on Instagram you trade pictures. That's what you do. You put photographs. And they have a variety of filters. There's a whole world out there now. I'm going ape crap. If you go to our website, in fact, and you look below the leprechaun, you will see a picture of me. This is me when I was like 33, but I took it and put it through a variety of filters, and it comes out spooky and weird looking. That is because I put it through one.
What's that one that you got? I really like that one.
Photogene.
Yeah, Photogene's good, and another one is Filtermania.
I got both of those. I got Photogene and Filtermania, and I have Instagram. And you can do so many things with a photograph, and then you go to Instagram, and you put it there, and you make a comment, and people go, oh, wow, look at your world. It's so groovy and colorful and all that stuff. Here it is. I'll show you guys the picture that I was talking about. I put that through Photogene, and I put it through Instagram, and I put it through the
Filtermania.
I put that through Filter Media too. Now, this is a very strange sort of social networking site, Instagram, because it's all photographs. But you do get kind of an idea of where people are coming from. And I took that picture of Clooney, the two Clooneys, Nick Clooney, who was the father, and Nick Clooney used to be the host on American Movie Classics.
You mean like Robert Osborne is on a TCM?
Yeah. In fact, Robert Osborne used to be on American Movie Classics. And he was the guy after Nick Clooney. Nick Clooney was also a news anchor here in L.A. on Channel 4. So I think that's probably where George Clooney grew up in Los Angeles, because his father was a new. I remember seeing his father on Channel 4 News here, NBC News here in L.A., and then he went and did AMC. Now, the next time I see him, he's getting busted today in front of the Sudanese embassy, along with his son, George. Now, the picture that I took shows Nick looking rather severe and serious and maybe a little distressed as his hands are being cuffed, and George is smiling. So I captioned it very dishonestly, George says goodbye, glad he's not arrested, as he sees his father stuffed into a squad car.
You kidding me, man?
Well, something like that. But I wound up taking it down because I thought it was very dishonest. But fun. So that's what happened today.
That it?
Yeah, that's all I did. What do you mean, is that it? That's it.
You're trying to make it look like George Clooney's happy his dad got busted.
Well, if you saw the picture, there's George Clooney with a big smiling while his old man's getting led away. His father looked like he was getting ready to cry. And there's George all... But that was not the case. They both got hauled in before the gendarme. They were hauled into the Bastille. And
what's that?
The Bastille, that's where the French prisoners were kept. And Bastille Day is celebrated in France like our 4th of July. Bastille Day is when the revolutionaries during the French Revolution stormed the Bastille and ripped the doors off and ripped the bars off and let the prisoners out. These were prisoners of King Louis. Okay, in other news, the defendant in Rutgers spying case is guilty of hate crimes. You heard the story. His name was Duran Ravi, the guy that Doug Danger, Mr. Gay Man and Gay Journalist, said was a dothead because he couldn't figure out what country the guy came from. Yeah, well, look it up, Doug. He was found guilty of hate crimes and invasion of privacy Friday for using a webcam to spy on his roommate, kissing another man in their dorm room. They also found Ravi guilty of tampering with evidence and witnesses for trying to change Twitter and text messages in which he had encouraged others to watch the webcam. Ravi's roommate, Tyler Clementi, jumped to his death from the George Washington Bridge 3 days after Ravi viewed him on the webcam. The case became a symbol of the struggles facing gay, lesbian, and bisexual teenagers and the problem of cyberbullying in an era when laws governing hate crimes have not kept up with the evolving technology. there was another, oh, I saw that. Remember that thing we were watching?
Man, that was weird. That lady, she's pretending she's her own daughter, man.
That's right. We were watching a thing on a tube the other day. And this was not the one you're thinking of, bud.
Glady, Missouri.
No, this is a different one. This woman pretended that she was her own daughter. She sent out pictures of her daughter and texted guys as if she were her own daughter. And this dude fell in love with her. And then there was a love triangle that started up. And this guy killed this other guy because he thought this other guy was going to get this girl who he thought was this beautiful 17-year-old. And it turned out to be this scumbag mother pretending she was her own daughter.
They didn't arrest her, did they?
No, they couldn't arrest her because there wasn't anything they could arrest her on. And the woman, oh, she was a real piece of work. She said, well, as soon as I found out who he really was, because he was pretending he was a teenager too, I decided that I would keep the persona of my daughter to make sure he didn't hurt any other kids. Yeah, Roger. Sure you did. So, and the cops they talked to, the cops got no sympathy. Man, they wanted to bust her, but they said there was nothing in the book we could bust her on. Now, this was in New York State. It was a number of years ago. Maybe they've changed the laws. Things are changing, but, very slowly. Ravi looked down but did not seem to react as the jury forewoman read the verdict on Friday. Clemente's parents and family sat with their arms around each other, leaning forward as they listened to the forewoman speak. Jane Clemente, Tyler's mother, appeared to cry as the verdict was read. Afterward, Ravi's mother clutched his arm as he left the courtroom. Ravi was not charged in Clemente's death. He faced 15 counts of invasion of privacy, bias, intimidation, tampering with evidence, and hindering apprehension. The jury found he did not intend to intimidate Clemente the first night he turned on the webcam to watch, but they concluded that Clemente had reason to believe he'd been targeted because he was gay, and in one charge, the jury found that Ravi had known Clemente would feel intimidated by his actions. So this guy could go to prison for a nice, long, comfortable stretch.
Ta-da!
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and find out about the problems of Jason Russell, the young man who tried to alert the world to Joseph Kony's kidnapping of young soldiers in Uganda, young people, and turning them into soldiers in Uganda. Only Mr. Russell himself was the subject of a police apprehension today in Pacific Beach, San Diego. We'll tell you why. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. There's that beautiful picture of me. All right. So, before San Diego police arrived and took Invisible Children filmmaker Jason Russell into custody for his own protection, you know what? We've got a problem here, bud.
Cut it off.
Yeah, cut it off. I'd have cut them off, man. Let me, I just 5 seconds, folks. All I got to do is get over here to the actual story on Google because the printer cut off the LA Times. All right, this is the Jason Russell story as we understand it, as we've come to know it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the young man whose good intentions in making this film, or perhaps he is half mad. I don't know. I mean, I...
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, one minute the guy has got this film where he's talking to his son, and it's all very lovely, and oh, goodness. And the next thing you know, he's running around with no pants on down in San Diego like a mad freak. Where the hell is this, man? So basically, the story goes something like this. He's down there, and the video went viral. It went viral, meaning that people were watching this like crazy. And he became quite the cause célèbre overnight, as people started talking about this man, Joseph Kony, and what he was doing. Well, then came a few bits of criticism. I read some of it, and I appreciated a lot of it, because they were saying things, for instance, like, well, this guy Kony hasn't been in Uganda for a number of years. What are you talking about? That's it's, things are not as bad as they as they're reporting, and quite frankly, somebody seems to be trying to take advantage of the situation. So there was some criticism, too. It wasn't all Kony mania. It wasn't all Jason Russell mania. Apparently, though, according to police, they were trying to calm him down, and people in the area were trying to calm him down, and were trying to get him to just, you know, take a chill, man. It's going to be okay. We don't know what's wrong with you, but it seems to be pretty something serious. But they couldn't do it. According to a statement released by the police, he continued to act in a bizarre and in an irrational manner. This is a spokeswoman by the name of Brown. So neither Officer Brown nor anyone else in the police department is confirming that the incident at noontime on Thursday in this neighborhood involved Russell. The names of the people taken into custody for psychological review are not released. But the Invisible Children Organization Neighbors confirmed it was Russell who was filmed pounding his fists on the car near El Cajon, where his parents run the Christian Youth Theater, a 33-year-old, where the 33-year-old also lives. Now, police were responding to several callers who reported that the male removed his underwear and was nude. In this statement, by the time police arrived, the man was wearing his underwear. The callers reported the underwear-clad male was in the street, interfering with traffic, screaming, yelling at people, and running around on the sidewalk. Police took the man to a mental health facility for observation. What they finally said was in the statement, this guy needed hospitalization.
Yeah, they said he didn't need to go to jail, need to get into a nut room.
Yeah, they didn't say nut room, bud.
Yeah, man, what they said, he had to go to a mental hospital.
Right, he had to go to a mental... The police felt it was the more humane and the more... far more indicated thing to take him to a hospital. There was something terribly wrong with this young man, and taking him to jail was not the answer. So they took him to the hospital. No criminal charges are pending. A video has now surfaced allegedly showing Russell in the moments before police arrived. The video on TMZ.com shows a naked man angrily pounding the pavement with his hands. Invisible Children, a San Diego-based nonprofit, confirmed the hospitalization. Reporters on Friday were blogging about this. Invisible Children workers were seen crying and talking on cell phones. Ben Kesey, the company's chief executive officer, said Russell was suffering from exhaustion, dehydration, and depression. The past 2 weeks have taken a severe emotional toll on all of us, Jason especially, and that toll manifested itself in his behavior today. Jason's passion and his work have done so much to help so many. We're devastated by this. Jason Russell is a graduate of USC. He's made numerous television appearances since the video has gone viral, and he's also had to answer several allegations that the video misstates the facts about Kony's current whereabouts and the strength of his army. And I think that may be what... I'm just guessing here.
Yeah, people thought he's full of crap.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I'm guessing that... Because not hours after that thing went viral, we were talking about it on the air, not hours after that thing went viral, there were people that were posting things saying, well, like, first of all, Kony's not in the area anymore. Secondly, his army's not 30,000 strong anymore. He may only have a few hundred. Thirdly, this and that, this and that, this and that. And most of the money they collect doesn't go to Africa. It goes to them spreading the message. I mean, look, if 30,000 kids were kidnapped, and that's the number that they're putting it at, 30,000 children were kidnapped, then those kids belong to somebody. And it's been years, years since a lot of those parents have seen their children. So it's a tragedy and a story that is ongoing and still needs some solving. World Famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and yours truly, Phil Hendry. Visit our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. We'll see you guys Monday night. We may have a little video cast coming up this weekend. Who knows? And don't forget to head on over and give us a vote on your favorite Ted Bell bit. Hit up the shop for the new Bobby Dooley keychains and a whole lot more coming up. Have a good weekend, guys. We're taking our two. See yous.
Phil Hendry.